We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Gravesend News Shopper, read by Charlotte Green.
Judge Keith Simpson told him that had he been an adult, he could have been jailed for at least 6 years. I would call you a one-man crime wave, said Judge Simpson, were it not for the fact that others were involved.
But thanks to Audrey Gardner of Shooters Hill, London, for that. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome on my right Jeremy Hardy and Laurie Taylor. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Roy Hattersley. And before we start round one, here's a cutting from the Munster Express.
Wanted to care for 3 children 2 weeks per month. Reliable child mincer.
Thanks to Elizabeth Kavanagh of Waterford Island for spotting that. Jeremy, your first question. Who sang about the grocer's notes?
The grocer being Edward Heath, and the one who sang being a canary. This is Shayla, who got sacked by the Sunday Times and hired by MI5 and revealed that they keep all sorts of tabs on people. I'd always taken it as an article of faith that the phones of all good and decent people are tapped by MI5. So I was rather shocked that the phones of Peter Mandelson, Jack Straw and Edward Heath are also tapped by MI5. But this does account for Jack Straw's paranoia, because he's always been terrified, hasn't he, of children and beggars and people trying to wipe his windscreen. And one assumes that he thinks they're all working undercover and they're all trying to plant listening devices on his wing mirror.
The real libel against Peter Mandelson, because the allegation that he was once a member of the Communist Party implies that he once believed in something.
Old Labour, old sores.
I'm in favour, actually, of having rather more files, because, I mean, these are files of people who once had certain radical credentials and later on in life became rather conservative or New Labour or whatever you call it. I mean, it'd be interesting to open new files. I just think of people who become radical in their older age. I mean, just sitting opposite here, we have someone who is freely walking around the streets of this country at the moment advocating the redistribution of wealth, Roy. You're doing it. A file should be opened immediately. And you
I've been sleeping for almost 60 years.
Former MI5 member David Shaler also claimed that as well as Ted Heath, back in the 1970s, MI5 bugged Peter Mandelson, but knowing their predilections, it may have been a slight spelling mistake. 2 points to Jeremy. Laurie, who spoke to The World about seeing Rouge with Les Bleus?
Rouge with Les Bleus.
Who spoke to The World?
Oh, yes, The World. Yeah, this would be the unassumingly titled French paper, Le Monde, and this would be Princess Di, who described the conservative government. I mean, I went back to the original and looked at it, and apparently the word that she used was hopeless. In the actual Le Monde, it said full of merd. I went back, and so she was in trouble over this and over saying this. And I was interested to see that the man called Cormac, who's the deputy shadow leader, and he said that he thought that it was about time that Princess Di went through a period of silence, which seemed an unlikely happening. It was rather really like asking Chris Eubank to go through a period of self-deprecation or Shane Ritchie to go through a period of lucidity. So that was Princess Di.
She was asked, wasn't she, for what was her favourite picture of herself? And most people would want one that, well, your nose doesn't look too big, or you haven't got a stupid smile, or that you're not pissed at a party or something. And she chose one of herself holding a dying child, because this is the way she very much sees herself, this mixture of glamour and horror. And, you know, presumably wants to be pictured in a sort of plunge-neck Versace minesweeping gown. using a jeweled tourniquet to staunch the flow of severed limbs.
It's no good looking at me, Simon. I know very little about either the Princess of Wales or landmines.
except that you'd be mad to poke either of them.
She repeated her desire to be an international messenger, and she certainly has the brains and the talent to be a messenger. Melinda, perhaps. Diana would ideally like to live overseas, but can't leave behind those two names which are closest to her heart. Harvey and Nichols. 2 points to Laurie. Roy, who has found himself in an Irish stew?
Oh, it's Mr. Hoppy, the late Prime Minister of Ireland, who was discovered to have borrowed or been given £1.3 million. He can't explain why he has received it. We all know that people who are decent in any way do give presents to politicians. My address is available in the telephone directory. But Mr. Hockey has been unable to describe where the money came from, and the papers say he may be subject to prosecution.
No, the extraordinary thing about that was that he didn't know that he had that money. When they said to him that, you know, he was surprised to find it in his bank account. You know what I mean? Most of you have £250 in your bank account, and then he looked one day and he had £1.3 million and £250. So I suppose he just shrugged and said, that's Irish banks for you.
So it's quite true that it was Mr. Ben Dunn who gave the money, and you can get a T-shirt in Dublin now saying, Ben there, done that, bought the T-shirt. Alan, listen to this.
Words mean so little when you look up and smile. I don't care what people say. To me, you're more than a child. Oh, Claire. Claire.
Alan, who was accused of giving short shrift?
Is this the volcano question?
It is.
And we've got to hammer Claire Short, who is really rather a wonderful person. Short fuse, she calls herself, but she's greatly self-perceptive. We like Claire Short, do we not, Roy? No, we don't. Well, one of us here...
Not regarded as tragic that after 33 years in the House of Commons, my most successful broadcast should be a moment of silence.
Anyway, there are a few hundred people who like her even less than Lord Hattersley does, and these are the Montserratians. We didn't know they were Montserratians. I listened to these newscasts to hear what people from Montserrat were called. They're called Montserratians. Anyway, their island has blown up, and Claire Short has been immensely sympathetic and said, you can all have a toffee apple and a pat on the bum, and I wash my hands of it. But what has happened is that Robin Cook has washed his hands of Claire Short, or rather the Blair administration, such as it is.
She has not been snubbed. She said it herself. She has not been snubbed.
Why does she look that way, then?
I don't know.
The last time Claire Short was in the news, she was championing the legalisation of cannabis. So when she was heard muttering incomprehensible nonsense about the islanders wanting gold and elephants, everyone just shrugged and assumed she was back on the weed. 2 points to Alan. So the scores at the end of round one are Jeremy and Laurie, 4. Alan and Roy, 4. And we start round two with an item spotted in the Evening Standard.
A crew of naked rowers were spotted on the water in Oxford in what police believe was a drunken student dare. The 8 rowers and Cox were seen late last night.
Thank you, Jonathan Ledbury of London, for sending us that. Jeremy, where did the old Bill lower their profile while young Bill raised his?
This was a very disturbing incident at the Notting Hill Carnival. Very unpleasant incident where William Haig, or as his friends call him, young Master William the Pit Owner's son, he decided he should come back from holiday for some obscure reason. He thought, my party needs me. My vast and important political force of a party needs me to come back and lead it. So he came back with Fionn, who is his first lady, by all accounts. And they just happened to notice that they had a day spare, and it being August Bank Holiday, the Notting Hill Carnival was on, as it always is. And they just remembered this, possibly reminded by his private secretary saying, remember, you've got to have your picture taken with black people this afternoon, Mr. Haig. And so he rushed down there in his casual slacks.
He's going meetings of all these people, isn't he? I mean, he seems to be seen in such strange company. You're describing that particular bizarre appearance at the Notting Hill Carnival. He's also met this week John Monks of the TUC, hasn't he? I mean, it's afternoon tea with Pol Pot is all he's got to do to complete.
This is the Notting Hill Carnival, where William Haig made a spontaneous impromptu appearance, accompanied only by his fiancée, Fuffa Fionn, his special branch minders and half of Fuffa Fleet Street. Mr. Haig described the carnival as Britain's biggest cultural event, and politicians, he said, should be out and about. And everyone agreed it was very good to see him about. Roy, listen to your piece of music.
Week is something called
Oasis. Is this Oasis?
Don't worry about the group.
No, don't worry about the group. No.
Give him a question.
The Oasis question comes later. That was In the Army Now by Status Quo, Roy. Where is private treatment going soft?
Oh, the army is being nice to recruits. The army is stopping drill sergeants shouting at them, and it's particularly stopping them shouting at women recruits. And there was a film on television this week which showed the thing that recruits always used to do, which was swinging across water on ropes. But these days, they don't swing across water on ropes. They're helped across water on ropes by corporals with red sashes on. And this will make the British Army exactly ready for what it now has to do, which is thinking absolutely nothing. So we ought not to spend the money on them anymore.
It's a wonderful vision. You are a lovely little man. What are you? I'm a lovely little man. I'm a lovely little specimen.
Carey. Hope the Krauts don't find out, that's all. Anyway.
Alan, your question. Which imperial measure proved a bad yardstick?
I feel incredibly dumb tonight. Imperial measure proved a bad yardstick. It's not about imperial measure, it's about royalty.
No.
About the length of anything connected with royalty.
No, that was last week.
It's about the crown.
Not quite.
This was in the Telegraph, saying that there are people who are ignorant of our imperial history.
Yes.
Claire Short, for one, clearly. Yeah. Not knowing which bits are our responsibility.
Half of them didn't know America had ever been a colony, and the other half thought it still was. It was really, really strange. And all their historical knickers were in a twist. They thought General Gordon had shot Nelson at the Battle of Balaclava and stuff like that. Pretty odd.
Questions covered every aspect of imperial history and gave people a chance to display their ignorance. Most people, for example, thought that Cecil Rhodes invented tarmac. General Gordon was a gin manufacturer. And while no one knew what Kipling did, they had some very interesting guesses. The standard of knowledge was so low, all respondents were awarded a starred A in GCSE history. So the scores at the end of round two are, excitingly, Alan and Roy with 7 points, but Jeremy and Laurie in the lead with 9. We start round three with a press release.
If a quarter of the 4.4 million new households predicted over the next 20 years were fitted with aquasavers, the water savings would annually fill 5 reservoirs the size of southern England's largest reservoir, the Queen Mother.
Thank you, Brian P. Johnson of Bournemouth. Jeremy, how might all work and no play leave Jacques with a massive tax bill?
This, I presume, is the new French government's proposal to cut unemployment by cutting working hours, which is a sensible thing. And to do this, they're thinking about taxing extra earnings of people who work more than 39 hours a week, which may or may not work, but has caused considerable hilarity in the Daily Mail, who thought this was a ludicrous proposition because their favoured method of dealing with unemployment is to kill every third child. or to withdraw benefits from anyone left-handed or with freckles.
This is the French government's proposal to impose new taxes on people who work too much. The idea is to reduce unemployment by cutting 4 hours out of the working week. This has drawn an angry reaction from French farmers who say they won't be able to do their job properly. As one of them said, all those British lambs, they don't just burn themselves, you know. French union leaders reacted to the plans to stop people working by calling for an immediate overtime ban, which rather spoiled the object of the exercise. 2 points to Jeremy Laurie. Listen to this.
Arabians learn Arabian with the speed of summer lightning, and the Hebrews learn it backwards, which is absolutely frightening. But use proper English, you're regarded as a freak. Oh, why can't the English... Why can't the English learn to speak?
Why does a tubby tongue need more rounded vowels? This is the famous... student pastime now, watching the whatever they're called, ipsy dipsy, farty wanky, chopsy, poo poo and dody, whatever they are. The Teletubbies, and we've had an announcement this week after all the fuss about children watching this that they're going to now say rather more. I think they only say one word, and they're going to say harrow. I was thinking of the Teletubbies. I just imagine, you know, that how this was commissioned in the first place. You don't know the idea that you have a whole range of BBC executives, you know, John Burt and 350 other people sitting around a table, and someone comes in and says, well, I've got this idea for the series. What we're going to do is get four people, and they're going to dress up in Technicolor furry costumes. And they go, yes, what lovely idea. Yes, very good. Then we're going to put televisions in their stomach. And they say, we like it so far, yes. And then aerials on top of their head, yes. And they say, we're going to have a giant vacuum cleaner called Nunu. And they go, amazing, book it for 260 episodes. I mean, what the hell was rejected?
And the 60-year-old professor of sociology clearly watches every bloody episode.
It's for the cultural and media studies course, Alan. I have to. 2 points to Laurie. Roy, how did a stitch in time save 900 years?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
You will in a minute.
Alan said in... I'll know.
Right, we've been waiting for the last episode. Waiting 900 years for...
Oh, yes.
Meg Jessamine.
I know this. Phew. It's the Bayeux tapestries, which have been rescued, recovered, restored by a lady who has, as you eloquently said in your question, put in an extra stitch.
Right.
So I'm right, aren't I? Yes. 2 points.
But, you know, if Roy had ever been Prime Minister, it would have been really embarrassing, wouldn't it? Prime Minister's question time. Oh, thank you, Honourable Member. I'll just nip round the back of the Speaker's chair and ask Alan Corran.
If I'd ever been Prime Minister, Alan Corran would have been in prison.
Yes, 2 points. It's the news that the missing last scene of the Bayeux tapestry has been finished by an Englishwoman, Jan Messant. Work is now to begin on the missing first section, which depicts King Harold before the battle in Hastings, telling the locals how much better off England is under the Saxons. New Normans, new danger, and offering recruits incentives such as free eye tests on the NHS. Alan, who could be barred for saying the same again?
This is Alco Pops, is it?
No.
Who could be barred?
Not very clever now, are you?
No, I'm not. Well, it's the concatenation of me being in prison and the joke about bars that makes me feel very uneasy. Same again.
Is it about the plagiarist?
It is.
There's a Cornish plagiarist who nicks in a very obvious way and writes poems that begin, "Shall I compare thee to a cream tea?" He just changed all the words. He got some Scottish poem, Donald Wears Your Trousers or something. And he changed all the words to things to do with Cornwall, like married cousins and
It was rather odd to call it plagiarism, wasn't it? Because, I mean, he just substituted single words.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rather like sort of having something like Wordsworth's "I wandered lonely as a cloud which floats on high o'er vale and hill wall, and all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden geraniums. I mean, that's all. You just change one.
In fact, I didn't want to point it out at the time in case I should underline Alan's ignorance about this, but in fact, he substituted Truro for Glasgow. And the two poems are so bloody awful. I can't imagine why any of them want to claim to have written them. I mean, they're both going to say the other man wrote it, not me.
And so the scores at the end of round three are Alan and Roy with 9 points, but Jeremy and Laurie soaring into the lead with 14. Jeremy, your music.
About a face.
That was the Monks. Why is the smell of laddish excess not so sweet for advertisers?
This is Calvin Klein, who make pants, perfume, and T-shirts for Liverpool Dockers, and they are considering withdrawing their advertising from various lads magazines like FHM and Loaded. These are a newish phenomenon. They're pornography, but according to what I read, they're not pitched at old-fashioned working-class sexists, but postmodern new white-collar sexists from social groups A, B, and C1. And so they're more stylish and tongue-in-cheek. And rather than having pictures of nameless models who appear to be waiting for a coil to be inserted, they have pictures of minor celebrities rolling in sand wearing crocheted knickers and a wet nightie. Which is clever and ironic and tongue-in-cheek and blokish and charming. But Calvin Klein thinks not, and is withdrawing. You're just making up your own jokes now, aren't you?
This is the news that perfume manufacturers Calvin Klein and Chanel are considering withdrawing their adverts from laddish magazines such as Loaded and FHM. Loaded magazine have hit back, saying that they've never heard of a reader's girlfriend being offended. Though, come to think of it, they've never heard of any of their readers having a girlfriend. 2 points to Jeremy. Laurie, who can find no oasis in a desert of rubbish? I shall need the name here, Laurie.
This is the Oasis question you were talking about before, wasn't it? It's the George Harrison question.
That's the name I wanted.
It's about George Harrison, the Beatle who isn't all the other ones. The one you can't remember which one it is, it's George Harrison. Country and Eastern was his speciality, if you remember. And George Harrison said that he was dissatisfied with the present pop scene, and he advocated watching the Spice Girls, and he said that, that the only way to watch the Spice Girls was in fact just to turn the volume down. I mean, it's not a bad tip. I started recently looking at Kilroy with both the vision and the volume off.
It was ex-Beatle George Harrison who described the music of Oasis as rubbish, even though their songs closely resemble those of his old group. He says modern pop can't compare with the Beatles, whose songs are described as timeless. But then that was Ringo for you. Other experts agree that the Oasis boys, Noel and Liam Gallagher, are every bit as talented musically as Lennon and McCartney. The bad news was they meant Yoko Lennon and Linda McCartney.
Notice that Roy didn't seem to perk up when the Beatles were mentioned after Oasis. Clearly, that name doesn't ring a bell either, does it?
You liked Carl Bully, didn't you, Roy?
The Beatles, rather after my time. I'm the Clara Butt generation.
Clara Butt?
Dame Clara Butt to you, if you don't.
Wasn't she in goal for Sheffield Wednesday last Saturday? Alan, your final question. Who had light fingers for the fish fingers?
Oh. Oh, God almighty.
Light fingers.
God almighty or cod almighty.
This is not the one about if you wear a wedding ring on your finger, your heart's all right. It's not the one about the Mr. and Mrs. Frost of Brighton who were suing one another for custody of the hanging baskets of geraniums. It's not any of the questions we used to have when Roy Attersley was a boy and Clara Butt was a child. Light fingers and fish fingers? I have no idea.
Jeremy, no, giving you the answer. One. It's never happened on the news quiz before. Would you like to go over and tell him?
Is it the shoplifter? He didn't actually steal fish fingers. So it was misleading.
There's fish fingers as well.
It was 2,301. Thereby beating Roy Hatters' record, which is why it sticks in his memory.
I've always
lived in Say Nothing Lane, which I rather like. Mr. Rickard, I think his name was.
That's right.
If you'd asked me a simple question like, who was Mr. Rickard, where did he live and what did he nick? You had the answer in a trice, instead of waiting for Jeremy to come in.
His extraordinary knowledge of how to pack enormous numbers of pilchards into tins should serve him well when he moves into one of Jack Straw's new penal establishments. This question was about shoplifter Andrew Rickards, who was discovered to have stolen several thousand cans of fish from supermarkets. He was sentenced for stealing huge piles of pilchards, tuna, prawns and fish fingers, and was also ordered to undergo treatment to cure his delusion of being Spanish. Amongst the haul, police also found, and this is true, hundreds of packets of curry powder, Beecham's pills and even castor oil. They said with all that evidence they had plenty to go on. So before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
This is sent in by John Dowling, Dublin 14, in the Republic of Ireland. And it's a story from the Irish Times. Riyadh. A Saudi woman who donated an eye to restore her husband's sight has ended up losing him to another woman, a newspaper said yesterday. Al Jazeera, said the man from the Riyadh region, could not stand the sight of his wife being one-eyed and decided to remarry.
Laurie. This is from Mr. Gray of Harpenden, and the headline is Sauna was front for mum of three's whiplash brothel. And it says, a mother of three admitted running a brothel from a terrace house after a police raid uncovered a collection of whipped schoolgirl uniforms and sex toys. In mitigation, Rodney Lester said the girls working on the premises were self-employed and looked out for each other. He said no person was coerced to work there. They worked shifts to suit personal arrangements. He said clients were vetted and video recording equipment was in operation to keep watch. No one could come to any harm, said Mr. Lester. It was a hands-on operation.
Roy. Well, this is from the Plastic and Rubber Weekly.
I can hear we have a regular subscriber.
Having trouble breathing due to his PVC waistcoat that he wears at all times.
And as he will know, the current edition gives an account of LIG, which is a company, who have launched a new condom on the market. And they've had a survey to discover the success of their new product, and this is what they've found. Details on penetration since the full launch are not yet known. But LGI believe to be pleased with the reaction that has been generally felt so far.
Alan.
I have done worse than answering questions than I ever have done in 25 years of the news quiz, so I shall probably get my cutting wrong. Be that as it may, it is from the Brighton Evening Argus, which says Brighton and Hove District Council have ruled that a recently opened Hove video store must change its fascia. The present shop sign in block capitals reads Top Flicks in daylight, but when its neon is switched on after dark, the L and I run together. Upsetting many local residents.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the sensational final score, because Alan and Roy have only 12 points, but Jeremy and Laurie are our shock runaway winners with 19 points.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Jeremy Hardy, Laurie Taylor and Roy Hattersley. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Ian Pattinson, with Hugh Rycroft and David Spicer. The producer was Aled Evans.